Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is from the Gospel reading, the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan. To the lawyer who wished to justify himself, Jesus said, "Which of these three, the Levite, the priest, or the Samaritan, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is our text. A lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test. You know right there from those words that this is not a genuine request that this man has. When he says, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" it is not a prayer for help. He is putting a test before Jesus in order to trip him up. He's skeptical as he asks this question. "What are you going to say, Jesus? What's your answer to that question?" And Jesus throws it right back at him. "What is written in the law?" Because Jesus does not go beyond what the scriptures say. Jesus is the fulfillment of the scriptures, but he does not negate what is already written. And so the man turns to the Old Testament, and he confesses what we must do to inherit eternal life. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You're right. Do this, and you will live." He understands the law. He gets it. If you want someone who knows the Bible backwards and forwards, and who can cite chapter and verse, this lawyer is that man. The question isn't whether he understands, but whether he can do it. Can he actually love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength? And can he love his neighbor as himself? And I don't know if this man was intending it this way, but it seems to me that he decides to zero in on the easier one in order to make sure that he's actually got it down. This man says, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, if you really begin to think about it, that's an awfully tall task. So maybe I can just settle on loving my neighbor. But who is my neighbor? And right there we see a little bit of an issue, right? This man, as he's wanting to figure out how to fulfill and keep the law, to do what he must do to inherit eternal life, he begins drawing boundaries, and he's already thinking, "Well, let me narrow it down. Some will be my neighbor, and then there are others who are not my neighbor. I don't have to love everyone. I just have to love my neighbor." Jesus, again, doesn't answer straightforwardly, but he tells instead the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the man who's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho through an area that's notorious for having some highway brigands, and he falls among robbers, and they strip him, and they beat him, and they leave him there as if for dead. On that same road comes down a priest who chances by, and he sees the man lying there, and he goes to the other side of the road and keeps going. Then a Levite comes and does the same thing. You know, the priest and the Levite, these two religious men, the ones who would be most concerned with God's law, they see the guy in the ditch, and they just walk right on past. But the least expected one coming, a Samaritan, and you ought to know that Samaritans and Jews did not get along. They were not friends or best buddies. It's like someone in Israel and someone in Palestine. And the Samaritan comes by, and when he sees the man, his heart just opens up He sees the man in the ditch and he goes over to him to tend to him. It says he had compassion on him. This is the word a couple of Sundays ago that seminarian Picari mentioned in his Bible class that is his favorite word in the Greek. It's this word of this gut-wrenching care and concern. A word that's used in the scriptures only to describe our God. But here it describes the Samaritan. He's not looking for points. He's not trying to impress someone. He sees the need and his heart moves him to go down into that ditch with the man. And not only does he bind him up, put him on his own animal and carry him out, he brings him to an inn and he tells the innkeeper, "Whatever you need, it's on me. I'll pay for this man to get well." Four characters in this story: the priest, the man who gets injured, the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. And as I read this parable, one of the questions I ask myself is, which of these characters do I most identify with? Of course, I would like to identify with the Good Samaritan. Wouldn't we all? That's me right there. Every time I can remember, I helped a person in need, except maybe I don't remember all the times I missed the person in need. We want to identify with the Good Samaritan, and that's a good thing. But you know, as I thought about my own week, my own life, I thought about all the times that I've been like that priest or that Levite. All the times that I've been intent on taking the care of the thing that I've got in mind. I've got this thing that I need to do, and I blaze right on past other people in their needs. I know it happens sometimes even on Sunday mornings. Someone will say hi to me, and I'm in the zone, and I don't even acknowledge them. It happened in my own house this week. I came down in the morning. We've got a dog that we're dog sitting. I said hi to the dog and asked if the dog had been out, but didn't say hi to my own daughter. I mean, seriously. And I think this is one question we're faced with. Do we even notice the people around us? Do we even notice the needs that are there? Or are we so concerned about ourselves and the things that we're doing and the things that we have in mind that we blow right past? And I don't want to be too harsh on the priest and the Levite here. I mean, if you ask the priest or the Levite why they didn't stop, I suspect that they probably had decent-ish reasons. Well, maybe those robbers were around and I didn't want to get caught by them too. Or, you know, I've got my duties at the temple and I need to stay clean. I can't touch a body that might be dead. And what can you do for someone who's dead anyway? I'm just going to keep on going. How often do we offer excuses for ourselves and our own behavior? For our own failure, not only to care for the person in need, but even to notice another human being right beside us. That word neighbor is an interesting one. I believe it comes from old English. It means the one, the nigh bore, the neighbor, the one who is close to you, the farmer who is near you. Sometimes I think we are aware, perhaps, of neighbors in certain places, but we miss the people who are right here, the ones who are closest to us, and the needs that they have. Jesus is teaching this man that he has a duty to love his neighbor, and his duty to love his neighbor is to love the one who is in need of mercy, and that's what it means to be a neighbor to another. It means to show mercy to them, to have regard for that person in their humanity and in their needs. And as much as I want to be the Good Samaritan, and let us pray to be the Good Samaritan as well, I see that I have not been. Too often I have been the priest, I have been the Levite, concerned with my own things, making excuses for why I didn't help in this situation or that situation, or like I said earlier, not even noticing the person right beside me. Lord, have mercy upon us. How many times after time after time, have I done this? Sure, I can hold out for you the one or two times that I explicitly remember helping that person in need. And in telling you about it, I'll be looking for your praise of me. But I have failed to be the Good Samaritan, the neighbor that my neighbors need. I have failed to show mercy to the one who is down and out. So I know who I identify with, perhaps whom you identify with as well. Maybe the bigger question, though, is not so much where am I in this story, but rather where is Jesus in this story? What has Jesus done to help and serve and love his neighbor perfectly? Our Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself with the Samaritan. He is the one that, seeing the need of those who've been beaten up and left for half dead, those who've been chewed up and spit out by the world, he saw their need, and he came down in the ditch to help. What do I mean? I mean, here's the one who is God of God and light of light, very God of very God, and he chooses to put on our human flesh and to come like one of us so that he can go to the places where we are and help us in our need. Because honestly, that's where I find myself. As much as I may be the priest or the Levite, when I hear God's law and see my failure to keep it, I realize that I'm like that man who's been beat up and spit out and left. He can't help himself. He needs the mercy of another. And Jesus is the one who has come and come still to show that mercy to us. He is the one who identifies himself with our need. And this is what I find so amazing. Here is God. You know, and if you think about God, I mean, maybe on a human scale, and the number of things that he has to pay attention to and to care about in this world, so many. And yet our God saw us in our need. And he didn't say, you know what, I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got more important things to do. I've got to do this or do that. He looked at us and he said, I'm going to help that one. They need me. And Jesus went down into the ditch and he lifts up the one who is in need and he puts them on his own animal, on his own beast of burden, carrying the weight. And he brings them to the place where they can receive his help. Sometimes when I think of this parable, it seems to me that the inn is perhaps not so much our heavenly home, but our inn is perhaps the church. That this is where Jesus has brought us to begin healing and begin the restoration that we need to show us the mercy that is necessary for us to be restored. And this is also the place where we at times come to meet our neighbor and to help them in their various needs as well. And Jesus makes the promise. He says to the innkeeper, take care of him. Take care of those who are in need. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. The Good Samaritan has come. And he has done the work of showing mercy that indeed left him stripped and beaten and not only half dead, but fully dead. It's like he went into the ditch and laid himself down there so the other man, so that we could get up and be brought for help. Jesus paid with his own life for our lives and for our healing and for our neighbors. And our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for that with his life, also rose from the dead, and he lives and reigns even now, and he has promised that he is coming again. And whatever we do in aid of our neighbor in need, however we show mercy, he will repay. He will restore. Which is to say, we show mercy to our neighbors not because we earn his favor, but rather because we know we've already got his favor. He has shown his love to us. And we can give ourselves freely to our neighbors in love Because he's going to take care of us as he already has and he has, as he has promised to do when he returns in glory. Brothers and sisters in Christ, one thing I think we can do as we think of this text is we can have our eyes open to see the needs of those around us. Again, not because we are going to earn our eternal salvation by caring for those around us, but simply because we've been cared for by Christ, and what can we do but bring his mercy to others as well? And as I think about that, I think not only about the neighbors nearest to us, perhaps in our own homes, in our church family, in other places, but even in our own communities. How many around us may at times be struggling? How many around us may have physical and material needs? Perhaps struggling to make ends meet with food or with utilities or housing or those sorts of things. And perhaps we've been accustomed to just walking right on by, ignoring those needs, making excuses that perhaps someone else will take care of them, or they deserve what they're going through, or whatever it is. And our Lord Jesus Christ today invites us as those who have been shown mercy, invites us as those who've been beaten up and left half dead, and he's put on the animal and he's brought in and he feeds and cares for, invites us to show love for them as well. Will we love them as well as Christ has loved us? I'm sure we won't. Will we notice every neighbor in their need? I guarantee I'll miss them again and again. But I know his love for me. And I know what Jesus has done to grant me his care and his healing. I know how he has been and continues to be that good Samaritan for me. And so may his love for us have its way with us. And may he, through us, bring that love to others. Open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to see their need and grant care to those who are down and mercy to those who've been left for dead. May our Lord Jesus Christ do this good work for us, that his name might be glorified and his word may be spread, and that many more may come into the inn with us and receive the healing that he has. For our Lord has promised that he is coming again, even as he comes now with his mercy for you and me. He is coming again, and he will bring that final and full healing and restoration, and he will bring us at last to our heavenly home. May Jesus come quickly. Amen.